I sometimes hear from parents, particularly young parents who have young kids, the struggle of sometimes being selective with their babysitters. And I can understand the sentiment. You know, they want to make sure that it's not just any random person looking to make a few extra dollars, but that it's somebody that they can trust. Somebody that can watch their kids as if they are watching their kids. Someone that holds the same philosophy of love and care that the parents have. Someone that will care for and protect the kids in their absence more than just doing a job. And you know, that's perhaps one analogy that we can use that can be a little bit similar to the one that Jesus uses today in the gospel. We're in John chapter 10 here, and Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd, and he makes that distinction between a good shepherd and a hired worker. And in particular, the difference between the two that Jesus highlights is the way in which they respond to danger. And the image of danger that he uses is of a wolf. And he says that a hired worker, when a wolf comes, will run away, because he's only working for cash and he has no real interest, no real investment in the sheep. Whereas the shepherd, because these sheep belong to him, have a little bit more invested here. He is very concerned about what this wolf might do to the sheep. And so, of course, he won't just run away easily. Instead, he's going to rise up and do what he needs to do to protect the sheep. But Jesus takes it a little step further. It's not just any ordinary shepherd, because an ordinary shepherd is going to try to protect the sheep. But even further, he calls himself a good shepherd. And in Greek, a better translation here could be translated as a noble shepherd. Why? Because Jesus says the good shepherd, the noble shepherd, is not just simply protecting a sheep, but is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. In other words, the hired worker is self-interested to the sheep's detriment, but the good shepherd is even willing to expose himself to harm for the sheep's benefit. And, you know, if anybody would ever tell me that any other human being would actually die for an animal, we would say that's crazy, that's disordered, that's not a good thing. I hope that's clear. Do not die for your pets. Do not die for an animal. But Jesus is using figurative language here to show us just how radical this type of love is, that God would die for a human or for all humans. This is radical. This is not rational. This is not what you would expect. God loves us even more than he should, with this overabundant generosity that the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, lays down his life for you and I, the sheep. And this symbol of a shepherd is used a lot throughout Scripture, oftentimes in the Old Testament, usually to refer to religious authorities, to religious leaders. And Jesus draws upon that image here just to kind of speak, particularly here, drawing from John chapter 9 when he's addressing the Pharisees. So in one sense, he's addressing religious leaders like the Pharisees, and also to his disciples who will soon become religious leaders, his apostles, and challenging them that in their position of leadership, that it should not be about self-interestedness. It should not be about making a profit. It should not be about anything in a worldly sense, but rather true care for the flock, for the people underneath their care. Which is why today is each year, the fourth Sunday of Easter, we pray for vocations to the priesthood, calling it Good Shepherd Sunday, because it's always this reading and praying that all the spiritual leaders in the church, you know, have that proper mindset. But in addition, I think what's really helpful for us today, especially for each of you, I really want to speak to the parents, because parents also are a religious leader for their families. Parents have a religious authority, a spiritual responsibility for their families. And so it's the same analogy. It works very well for parents here, that parents need to be more of a good shepherd than a hired worker for their kids. So what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, just to kind of give, you know, perhaps a few examples. And it's very easy just to, you know, sorry, I have something in my eye. it's very easy to find ourselves distracted. You know, one parent recently was sharing with me, he was just spending time with his child, toddler, and just a normal day, you know, in the living room, spending time with the toddler. And somewhere along that playtime, the parent picks up the phone and looks at his phone just for a brief moment. And in the corner of his eye, he noticed the toddler's face dropped. Like, and he noticed that even the toddler, who's not even really able to talk yet, like, got disappointed whenever the dad picked up the phone. Something so subtle, right? And then he just started to self-reflect, like, oh my goodness. He started to realize, you know, he really had been spending perhaps a little too much time on his phone, and potentially to the neglect, not deep neglect, but, you know, he's a good parent. But you know what I mean, like potentially to, so enough for the young child to notice that, like, it hurt her. And I thought, wow, that's really, really challenging, isn't it? So I think all of us perhaps can relate, like, the level of distraction we allow ourselves to pull us away from the people that we love, that we're not actually fully present to the people that we love most sometimes, because we allow ourselves to be distracted by other things, least of which being things with a screen. Perhaps that's one way. So, are you selfless with your kids? You know, parents with your kids, you know, it may be a shock to you, but your kids won't love you as well as you love them sometimes. There will be times where your kids just won't automatically love you as much as you love them, especially if your kids are young. There is a formation that needs to take place, and sometimes as parents, there can be such a shock, like, how in the world can you be so disrespectful? And then there's the temptation to respond in a similar way that your kids are responding, and to kind of go down to their level. But the parents are the good shepherd, not a hired worker. The parents love like Christ. They go above and beyond and lay down their lives to love their kids and to show them the appropriate way to respond to hard times. These are just a few examples. Are we selfless? Are we laying down our lives for our children? Are we thinking first about their benefit instead of ours? Now, what I know to be true is that majority of parents, probably all of you here, I'm sure, would do absolutely anything to protect their kids from physical harm. That is just seems like the greatest fear, I'm sure, of any parent. I'm not a biological parent, so I can't totally relate here. But I would assume that if your child was in physical danger, you would be willing to die yourself in order to protect them. Most parents would do that without even thinking. It's just natural. It's just the way you are wired. I wonder, though, how many parents would be willing to lay down their life to protect their kids from spiritual harm? I wonder how many parents are willing to do maybe what's inconvenient, uncomfortable, difficult, unpopular, to protect their kids from spiritual danger. There are so many temptations out there, so many near occasions of sin, so many bad influences, so many difficult environments that expose our kids to spiritual harm. And it could be so exhausting and so overwhelming and so difficult to, and you know, it's not that we need to live underneath a rock, because to some degree, you know, like, you can't avoid all of it. But I wonder if we could be a little bit more intentional about what we are exposing our kids to. It's so hard, but what I do know to be true is that it's practically impossible if you feel alone in that effort. But you're not alone. If you're feeling this, if you're relating to this, I can assure you I have this type of conversation with parents all the time. You're not alone, even though you feel alone. What's important is to get together. What's important is to develop a community of like-minded parents that can help each other navigate all of these difficult spiritual challenges that just come about living in a world that is more, well, that is less and less interested in Christian values. But if we come together, we can be a little bit more strengthened in our resolve to protect our families from spiritual harm. It's not easy. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, you know, I don't have young kids, so this doesn't apply to me. It still does, because you're still part of creating that community that's so important in order to protect our future generations from the wolf, from the enemy, from all the spiritual dangers that may be out there. So as we continue with this Mass, I especially just want to pray for all parents, especially for parents that are raising kids, kids still be in formation. Pray for them, and all of us have a role in supporting them as they navigate all the challenges that come. The lens through which we want to see it is to be a good shepherd, a noble shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Noble parents who are willing to do anything and everything that their kids may get to heaven. And it's all of our roles to support those parents in that effort. Amen.